This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at Empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Beyond the Arc. We're previewing the NBA Finals and talking NBA Draft later in the show. I'm here today with the Ringer's Tate Frazier. Tate, how you doing, man? We're here.
I'm doing great. I mean, we're in Bill's office right now. We're setting up. It feels like it really is like, you know, inside the NBA is done. It's finally the NBA Finals. We can all talk about it. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. I'm so excited, man. We get the Nuggets in the Miami Heat, the 8-seed Heat, upset their way to the NBA Finals, beating the 1-seeded Bucks in the first round. The 2-seeded Celtics in the East Finals, taking 7 games there, and the Nuggets have kind of rolled. You know, they went 6 with the Suns. They lost a game versus the Timberwolves as well, but the Nuggets look like the dominant team in the Western Conference, the 1 seed that people doubted. And now we're at a point here to, you know, potentially the first 8 seed to win the NBA Finals ever. We have not seen that ever in NBA history, but is this where Miami's road ends against this tough 1 seed Denver Nuggets team?
I will say this, to pull a Lee Corso, not so fast. I think a lot of people have already kind of predetermined that Denver is going to win the NBA championship, and rightfully so. They have the best player in the series. They have Nikola Jokic. He can change the dynamic of any game. He can control the pace of any game. I think, you know, with his ability to create for others, create for himself, he's kind of, we talked about how non-traditional he is. I still think he is traditional in the sense that if you put someone smaller on him, he will take them down to the post and then get the bucket. It, right, which is very old school playoff. This is the matchup. I will hammer this matchup until you make an adjustment, which is going to be fun to watch. The only concern I have about the Nuggets kind of hoopla is that Pat Riley is on the other side. And when you talk about experience in the finals and you talk about the ability to have seen everything, quote unquote, I think Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, they've seen a lot. And that experience is what kind of scares me about saying that it's definitive Denver is going to handle business.
Sure. I mean, I think with Michael Malone, he's a very good coach. But this is an opportunity here for Spoelstra to really stamp his status along with that entire, you know, Miami brass with Riley and Mourning and everybody that they have.
Haslam.
There. Yes.
He said he is Miami Heat culture.
He did.
It's his last dance.
Exactly.
I'm ready for the doc. I hope that we get one of those tweets that like camera crews have been following Udonis Haslam all season long.
Like LeBron with two cameramen everywhere, right?
Yeah,
Haslam deserves that. I think you're onto something there though, Tate, because with Miami, we know this roster. They're tough. They're gritty. They have a bunch of grinders in that team, led by Butler and Bam Adebayo and now Caleb Martin. But up and down the roster, their entire rotation is filled with guys like that. And Spo knows how to position these players how to succeed. And I think for Denver, this side of things here, the Heat this season, they scored 1.13 points per dribble handoff. We see them do that a lot with Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. If they can get Tyler Herro back from his hand injury, he could be integral in these plays as well. That's their third best mark of the entire season behind what they did against Utah and Houston, two non-playoff teams. They shredded Denver with dribble handoffs, pulling out those Nuggets defender to the perimeter, trying to pull Jokic out of the paint. That was effective for them. So I think you're going to see a lot of that in the series, maybe more than we've seen throughout the entire postseason with Robinson and Strus, and if Herro can return. And then also Jimmy Butler as a screener, maybe even in some of those dribble handoff actions. Butler as a screener against Denver this year scored 24 points in 17 total plays. That's a highly efficient number for that Heat offense. The goal to force switches, gain matchup advantages. If Miami's going to win this series, it's going to be because of those tactical adjustments that we see Spoelstra make throughout the course of the series.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that I noticed in the Celtics series, the one thing that really bothered Jimmy Butler, especially in 4, 5, and 6, Celtics was Robert Williams and rim protection. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've seen a lot of people talk about the Nuggets and where is that rim protection coming from. Obviously, it's kind of done by committee. Aaron Gordon kind of gets credit for that. Jokic does a good job, especially one-on-one with bigs. He did a good job with Anthony Davis. But I wonder if they are able to use those dribble handoffs, bring out Gordon, bring out Jokic, and they don't have that elite rim protection behind them. Does that make them vulnerable? Does that open things up for Miami? And Miami's a physical team, KOC, so they're going to set hard screens. They're going to pick up full court. And even there were some times where the Lakers, I thought some of the best stuff they did was with Schroeder picking up Jamal Murray full court, but then he would give the ball to Jokic and let him bring it up, kind of, you know, it was freehand. They might press Jokic. They might get up in his grill when he's bringing the ball up the court. So I think there's going to be a lot of little nuance with the Miami Heat, and they're just going to test some things early, especially in game one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right about that. Even Bam Adebayo in those, some of those situations. If they can pull Denver out with some pressure in those dribble handoffs where they send two with the shooters, Bam is going to be on that short roll with, you know, a man advantage. Bam struggled offensively to end the series against the Celtics, but he began it really well. We saw more of that aggressive Adebayo that Heat fans have like wanted the entire season, and then it fell off a little bit towards the end. But if they can get that aggressive Adebayo in this series against the Nuggets, I think that's something that could give them an advantage here, though. But you mentioned it, though. That size advantage that the Nuggets have. You look at their roster. Jokic, 7 feet to Bam, 6'9". Michael Porter Jr., 6'10", to Caleb Martin, 6'5". Jamal Murray, 6'4", to Gabe Vincent, 6'3", and has some weight on him as well.
Right.
Aaron Gordon, great length, a sturdy frame, defending Jimmy Butler. Up and down the roster, position by position, the Nuggets are just a bigger team. How much of an advantage do you think that could be for the Denver side of things in this series when you just look at the pure size of the players on the court?
Well, I thought that was Boston's biggest advantage. They didn't use it, especially on the offensive end. They did not go inside. They decided just to shoot threes that were semi-contested. It was very frustrating to watch. I mean, that's why Barkley was like, I can't watch this boneheaded team play anymore because they have the size to go pound them inside. I think the Nuggets had the discipline to use their size as an advantage. But the interesting part is, you know, Jimmy with his first step, not the quickest first step in the world. He's not Michael Jordan, but he has a quick first step. And I think Aaron Gordon versus Jimmy Butler, that matchup, and if he's able to pull Aaron Gordon out and then use that first step, get by him, and then when he gets to the basket, use that pump fake, use that little fadeaway that we saw over Robert Williams late in game seven, right? Use some of those moves that he kind of matured throughout the series against Aaron Gordon, that will help. But when Tatum decided to guard Jimmy Butler, he gave him problems. Why did he give him problems? Because of his length. So Aaron Gordon should, in theory, give him those same issues with his size. I just wonder if Jimmy can use his speed to get by him.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why Miami is going to have to emphasize so much on getting some of those matchup advantages via switch, having Butler defended by Jamal Murray instead.
And what does Miami do too, right? They hunt mismatches. Yeah. That's kind of what the whole MO of their offense is. Like, we run through Jimmy. Jimmy gets the mismatch that he wants. Then he makes a decision. And then if we have our guys shooting the ball well, whether it be Strews, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, then we're going to feel pretty good about where we stand. And that's kind of the back and forth right in this series.
For sure. And Denver's going to do the same thing, though. You know, with Jokic, the best offensive player in basketball, he stole the best player in the world title this season from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Right now, he is the best player in the world. And that's because of, you know, he's a solid defender, but he is just an unstoppable offensive presence. He can shoot threes. We see those crazy step backs against the Lakers. It's unbelievable. He has the mid-range game. He can facilitate. He can run pick and roll. He can back guys down from the low post. He can score in every single way possible, and he does that without really leaving the ground when he jumps.
Yeah, and he looks like, you know, I was, my dad and BJ Armstrong, they both had pointed out that Jokic is like, he's Arvydas Sabonis, but like young Arvydas Sabonis, and I started watching some of the highlights when he was playing for the USSR, and it is kind of eerily similar, especially the way that they pass the ball and the way they have this vision. So I just think that Jokic is so unique in that way, and he's still 28 years old, that we're seeing the best of him, and he is going to probably go go down as the best passing big man of all time. So that is threat number one. But then, like you said, when he's hitting step backs like he's Dirk Nowitzki, you're trying to throw your hands up and say, what do we do with this guy? It's unstoppable.
I mean, and then he's also got the supporting pieces around him. The Nuggets front office over the years, going back to when Tim Connelly was the GM and now Calvin Booth running that team, they've added, an Aaron Gordon, a defensive presence who helps him, and he's going to defend Jimmy Butler a lot, but also a smart cutter, a great passer. Jamal Murray blossoming.
And a lob threat, too.
Yes, like Jokic is throwing the ball up to him a lot. KCP, Bruce Brown, these guys who cut. Michael Porter Jr. comes into the league as he's a score-first guy. Oh, now he's grabbing 10 rebounds per game. He's competing hard on defense. He's cutting to the basket. And that two-man game between Murray and Jokic is what creates so many of those, open catch-and-shoot opportunities behind the arc because of how it really mixes the defense, shakes them up like a snow globe, but also creates those cutting lanes because Jokic and or Murray is drawing the gaze of a second or sometimes a third defender. That's where KCP back cuts to the rim. That's where Bruce Brown is able to cut back door to the rim, and Jokic always finds him or Murray can.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
In this series, it's going to be interesting with different, success rates at the rim. Denver had the NBA's best field goal percentage inside of 8 feet this entire regular season. Miami allowed the fewest shots inside of 8 feet, but they allowed the second worst field goal percentage inside of 8 feet. So Miami has done a good job deterring interior shots, forcing mid-range jumpers. Denver dominates inside 8 feet. I think this is going to be an interesting series where you see Miami continue to try to prevent those interior chances, forcing Denver into more mid-range stuff. But that just means more Jokic there. Mm-hmm. That means more Jamal Murray there. And it's not like Denver can't thrive from their area. They did all season. And that's where I think from Miami, Boston had a more predictable offense. You knew what was coming with a lot of the time with them. More driving kick. Missoula wasn't making a ton of adjustments besides some of the slip screens at the top of the paint. You had in the first round with the Milwaukee Bucks, granted Giannis missed some time and was limited. Their offense just felt a bit more predictable. They didn't make many adjustments throughout the series. We didn't see Giannis as a screener at all. Miami felt like they had a game plan. This series against Denver, there's just like such a long list of things that Jokic empowers them to do. I just struggle to figure out where is Miami going to be able to figure things out and just completely stop them in the half court. They can't even pull out the zone, Tate, because Jokic is a zone buster.
I was going to say, I mean, the other thing about Jokic, what I think is one of his greatest skills and one of his greatest knacks offensively, is that there's no predetermination. I think that a lot of times Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they predetermine what move they're going to do, if they're going to take a shot on this possession, are they going to take a step back? And then you saw in game 7, right, Duncan Robinson sees Jaylen Brown and he's like, oh, step back three. I block his shot. First block of the season. You know what I mean? But it's because it was predetermined and he finally was like, I've seen this enough to know this is what he's going to do. He telegraphed it, right? Jokic does not predetermine anything. In fact, he literally is the definition of you show me this, I do this. Yep. And it happens in real time. It feels very slow because he moves very slow, but it happens so fastly or so quickly, I should say, that it kind of breaks your brain sometimes. And if you're playing a defense like Miami, where you mix up a lot of different coverages, you decide to double, the dribble, or you decide to go single. They mix coverages a lot, but sometimes when you're doing that, had, and he continues to read it, make the right play, it hurts your confidence because you're like, wow, we keep trying to throw different stuff at him, and he just won't be
fazed. We're doing everything right.
Right.
We're executing the game
plan.
It's
not predetermined.
Yes. That's what Jokic is. He's an improvisational master on the court, right? Like, it just doesn't matter what you do to him. And that's going to be the tough thing for the Heat here. And I think you can also look at this season, Jokic is 2-0 against the Miami Heat. Last season, they were 2-0 against the Miami Heat. The season before that, they were 2-0 against the Miami Heat. The last time that the Heat beat the Nuggets was August 1st, 2020.
Wow.
In the bubble. That's wow. The last time.
So it's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. It's a different world.
Right, literally.
Jokic has dominated a lot of those games. He has dominated Bam Adebayo. Granted, those are regular season games. There's not game planning, pro personnel scouting, advanced scouting going into it like the Heat have inevitably been doing the past week. But they had a 3-0 lead. They were definitely looking ahead to the Nuggets in the finals. It's a different circumstance. All of those rosters were different. Even this season, like, Kankar is getting minutes for the Nuggets. You know, end of bench guys are playing for the Heat. You can't look at it exactly, but that is a large sample of the Nuggets just absolutely dominating the Heat.
And there's some history here. We remember, obviously, the Morris shove Jokic and then Jimmy Butler kind of getting the mix. I mean, there is, I don't think there's any love lost. I think we're going to get some cutaways to the Jokic brothers in the crowd. I'm sure they're going to be saying things to the Miami Heat fans. I mean, I like that there's some sort of like, it feels very like 90s NBA, right? Where it just feels like there's no love lost between these teams. They don't like each other. Maybe they'll be respectful. Maybe they'll say nice things about each other in the media, as we're all prone to do, but inevitably when they get on the court, the Miami Heat are going to feel some type of way about Jokic. I mean, he knocked a guy out for one of their important pieces for the entire season. You don't think Pat Riley remembers that? You don't think Jimmy Butler remembers that? They do, and they're going to act accordingly, I believe.
There's a funny moment on the podium of the East Finals. Bam Adebayo says Spoelstra showed them like a 15-minute movie or something like that, and Spo like is standing at the podium like, don't look at me. I don't want to talk about it. And Ernie Johnson asked him about him afterwards, and Spoelstra, like the seasoned veteran coach he is, just completely pivoted away from it. Said, oh, we'll talk about the players. They win this game, but the Heat are going to use everything to that point, Tate, everything they can to their advantage to motivate themselves and create an edge for themselves. And Jimmy Butler didn't want to touch the trophy.
Said, I'll wait till the next one.
Didn't even wear the shirt in the locker room after the game, the Eastern Conference champion shirt, because they're aiming for something better. Are you picking the Nuggets on the series, though, despite all that?
I've been going back and forth on this. I feel like it's kind of foolish not to like the Nuggets in this series because they have the best player. I think he was the MVP this season. He's obviously been the MVP of the playoffs so far. He's dominated, but there's something in my mind. I remember the Heat started the season 2-5, and I know a lot of people talk about the Lakers and how they started the year, but they started 2-5, and Jimmy Butler said they're going to win the championship. And Jimmy Butler also went to Drew Holiday down 6 and said, I own you. And Jimmy Butler has said a lot of things, and you're like, I can't believe this guy is saying this. There's no way he's going to be able to cash that check. But he continues to cash it, KOC. And I think that is, I can't get it out of my mind. I can't really think about anything else other than the fact that I think the Miami Heat might win the NBA championship. And they've been here before. They have the experience. I think they have the better head coach. I'm not sure they have the better player, but I think Jimmy is a 1B to a 1A. And maybe this is a lesson learned for Denver. So I'm gonna go the other way with this. And
whoa.
I think the Miami Heat win this in 6.
I love it. I'm going to go Nuggets in 6.
That's probably the right thing.
I just
want to – we got to argue it,
there's
right?
There's something inside. Like, there's a gut feeling with Miami where the logical side of you is saying Denver for all of these reasons we're talking about. The emotional side, truthfully, the emotional side for both of these guys. Jokic is either going to like rise up the all-time rankings and shut everybody up that's been trashing him as like a fake MVP and all that. Miami, Jimmy Butler is the easiest guy to root for in the league. He's a JUCO guy. You know, going to junior college, transfers to Marquette.
He's literally a Disney movie.
Yes,
yeah.
100%. I mean,
kind of like
is.
Giannis was. When Giannis was there in 2021, it was like, what is this story?
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? Disney
happening.
Ended up making a movie about it. Yeah,
absolutely. And Jimmy Butler is in his own way as well. And he's such a lovable character in the league.
I called him America's sweetheart. He's kind of like Meg Ryan. Why does everyone love Jimmy Butler? I don't know. I do.
And one of those guys is going to be hoisting the NBA Larry O'Brien trophy.
You hoisted it not too long ago.
Yes, it was here.
Great.
It was here at the Ringer offices. It was pretty heavy. They say it weighs 30 pounds. I'm told by them it weighs 40. Mm. I don't know what the truth is there. It's a heavy trophy. It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah. One of these teams will be hoisting it soon. I'm going Nuggets in six. You're going Heat in six.
Let's say Heat and seven.
I love it.
I like Heat and seven.
I want seven.
Yeah, let's go seven.
I want seven. Let's go seven. Tate, we'll be back after the break talking about the NBA draft with J. Kyle Mann. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, too. A lot of teams to talk about. A lot going on in the NBA. We'll be back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Beyond the Arc. We're going to be talking about the NBA draft right now, focusing on playoff-ready prospects, the type of guys that could come in as rookies, maybe second year guys, and that could contribute in a playoff setting, which means we're focusing on older guys. So the way we're going to do this is I'm going to build a team. Five-man roster, two guards, two forwards, one center. It's positionless basketball these days. So starting off with my center, it's a 6'8" guy. Trayce Jackson Davis. He was definitely a big, heavy post-up guy as a senior this year for Indiana. But in the NBA, I think he's going to be one of those guys who's a versatile, switchable big, rolling down the basket, catching lobs. He's 22 years old, going to be someone who comes in right away doing that. Forwards, Kobe Jones out of Xavier, 21 years old, versatile piece, 38% from three, good defender, connective piece as a passer. Chris Murray, brother of Sacramento Kings, Keegan Murray. I think very similar.
The best rookie in the playoffs this year.
Yes, absolutely. And similar type of player. They're a little different. But Chris Murray, only 33.5% from three. You hope that number improves in the NBA, especially in spot-ups. But 20 points per game, versatile on defense. A lot to like there. Jaime Jaquez, 22 years old, out of UCLA. 18 points per game, 8 rebounds. Dude's a hustler. He just makes the right play all the time. I think an NBA coach is going to give him minutes right away. And then the one guy who isn't yet of legal drinking age of these five is Cason Wallace. Your guy, Kyle, from Kentucky, 12 points per game this season, 4.3 assists, 34.6% from three, 2 steals per game. He is, like, compared to Drew Holiday as a defensive menace. He had 8 steals in a game earlier this season. Cason Wallace, he's the only young guy on here, but I feel like he's somebody who's going to contribute right away, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll be able to stay on the floor because he's not going to necessarily need the ball all the time. I love guys like that, but they can still give you good decisions in the time that they do something when you have it. You know, that's kind of the big thing. And his metrics, if you go, I like to look for, like, efficiency in the pick and roll when the defense commits to you. How efficient are you at, like, hitting shots and making good decisions? And then how quickly is your touch time able to be productive? And I think, you know, he didn't measure as big as we hoped without shoes. I think he was like 6'2" and a half. Yeah. Wingspan, not crazy, but I think he's a smart player, and I think he's somebody that you could put next to a star and he'll give you, like, low waste minutes and give you a lot.
And he seems like a guy that can fit in where he gets in, you know, which I like that a lot about Cason. I liked how once he got more onus and ownership of the offense, you could see him kind of starting to be the guy that you expect him to be at UK. So that's encouraging. Another guy you mentioned, Chris Murray, you have him on your draft board here going to the Kings. I love the idea of the Kings having both the Murrays.
Let's do it.
Being able to unleash them in the playoffs.
You're all about this Twins thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's get it going. Let's make it happen. So when you talk about playoff ready guys, you already saw Keegan Murray. He was averaging, 27 minutes a game in the playoffs. There's no rookie even close to that. Christian Brown's playing right now for the Nuggets, but I think Chris Murray would be great. And to have Keegan be right-handed, Chris be left-handed, throws you off. Teams are like, which Murray is this, right? A lot of gamesmanship going on.
Kind of clouds the scouting report. Yeah. You're like, which is this guy? I'm not sure.
I know. Looking at the bench and then they're cutting behind you.
And then you get back cut. Yeah.
They're
like
switching jerseys mid-game.
Right. I like it.
Specifically, if you got Sabonis on your team, I think that's a decent strategy. Get him thinking about something. Yeah. Boom, back cut.
You start like a little Disney
Disney reality show, Brother Brother, based off Sister Sister. I mean, this is all good stuff. We
You're
can
just
do
a
it.
Fountain of good ideas.
I mean, this is good content idea for the Kings. They should just trade up to be safe.
Right.
Just to get them. Right?
Just for the content. Yeah. I don't think anybody's ever done that. But yeah.
I mean, Chris Murray would be really, really fun on the Kings or any team. It'd be great to see him. Kobe Jones, Jaime Jaquez, Tate. With these types of guys, do you see them, you know, based off their success in college, being those types of players who they're maybe late first, early second round picks, but they come in right away and have something to offer an NBA team?
Yeah, Jaime's biggest concern is his ankles. You know, he has the ankle braces on. He had some moments in his career where we thought the ankles were going to hold him back. But I remember Steph Curry's ankles, and everyone said that, you know, the
Not
reason Nike, yeah, right, Nike didn't want to sign him, and the Golden State Warriors wanted to give him this kind of like budgeted contract because of his ankles. So I'm okay with Jaime Jaquez and his ankles. I love the way that he plays the game. He's a very grounded athlete. I think he's one of those guys that I compare him to Jimmy Butler. He just makes winning plays. He can get the ball late in the shot clock and make the right decision. And if you need him to go win you a game, I think he has the potential to do that. He might not be a 1A option right in the NBA, but if he's your third, fourth option, he's a very reliable option. And he's a guy that's not going to take you out of a game, right? He's going to make smart decisions. And defensively, he can match up on the perimeter with anyone.
Kobe Jones is pretty similar in that sense, right? You know, those types of qualities, Kyle?
Yeah, yeah, I think. And a lot of the guys we're talking about, you know, for the short term, we're probably talking about later in the first round, teams that are like, okay, we need somebody that we're not waiting for this cake to bake long term. Mm-hmm. And I think Kobe Jones is one of those. Like, he's going to come in. He can give you a little bit of like second side, secondary creations. He catches it off the wing. And we've seen that run, you know, defenses that can't run deep into the shot clock and continue to hit shots or drive a closeout and just keep their thing moving. Like the Knicks, big example of that. They would hit these walls just because they had these guys that couldn't make those decisions. And we saw where like Quickley and Grimes being out hurt them. These are the types of players. I think Kobe Jones kind of fits that mold. He can hit. He's a decent dribble pull-up shooter in the pick and roll. He's got a little bit of middle game. I love guys that have middle game. He's just one of those types. Yeah.
All of these guys, Cason Wallace, Jaime Jaquez, Kobe Jones, Chris Murray, I feel like an NBA team is going to ask them to be the same guy that we saw in college. Trayce Jackson-Davis is the one on this list where he's leading the country in post-ups. That's not going to be his game in the NBA. He's the one guy who's going to have to change. With what I said earlier, Tate, about him being a guy who could be like a switchable piece on defense, a screen and roller in the NBA. Kyle and I on the Ringers NBA draft show this year talked about him out of dribble handoffs with his evolved playmaking ability where, hey, maybe he could be the type of guy who has some shooters revolving around him and he's rolling hard to the basket out of those. You know, he's faking on handoffs, attacking in a straight line. He's like he could take on a brand new shape. Do you see those qualities in him based off of his years in college?
Yeah, I think he'd be great DHOs. I think he'd be great in general, just being a passer, playmaker. You don't want to put the scoring responsibility on him because I'll be honest with you, if you get to the playoffs, the scouting report is pretty easy. He's going left.
Yeah.
And the only player
barely shot a jump shot in his life.
Right. Yeah. And the whole thing with him going back to college was every single offseason, very similar to like Ben Simmons, you would see these videos of Trayce Jackson-Davis putting up threes. He's like expanding my game. Mike Woodson's there.
Never does it.
And then the season starts and he's doing the exact same thing as before, which, look, it's really good. Like you said, great out of the post. He can score out of the post. I think those are things that are commendable, things that he will be able to translate to the NBA. But in general, I think he's going to have to be able to go right. I think he's going to have to work on his right hand. I think he's going to have to work on his jump shot. But the ability to switch and to be a switchable big in general is going to add value for him. I have some concerns about the ability to score at that next level. Zion's the only guy I know that we know he's going left and
Sabonis.
He can still score. Maybe Sabonis
too.
But we saw the limitations in the playoffs at times, right?
Yep, so for sure.
Yeah. It can be hard to evolve and grow, you know, like I'm going to quit Twitter. I swear I'm going to quit, you know, one of these days. So I just say like, you know, you try not to. You're going to have to figure out ways for him to stay on the floor, him as like as a non-jump shooter. But I think, you know, gigantic hands, Trayce Jackson-Davis.
I love
Where do you have him in your mock, KOC, Trayce Jackson?
I have him late first, I believe,
I
on my
30th.
Big board. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I was going
to
say.
Mock draft, he's like 30, I think, to the Clippers. I currently have him.
Yeah, I was going to say Portland, Cleveland, Golden State, Miami, teams that run a lot of sort of decentralized, like DHO, ball movement, like guys moving off ball. I could see him working in that kind of a system.
Playing behind Bam would be great. I think that like a situation like that, or even like behind a Sabonis where he has a guy who
38,
is the guy in
Sacramento,
front of him.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's kind of a non-shooting John Collins. Like he's that type of body type. That's what we're looking at.
It's going to be a very interesting year to see which of these players end up panning out early on in the NBA. There's always somebody random too. these young guys can pan out as well, which is why Cason Wallace deserves to be on there. Kyle Tate, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, KOC.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.